If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them and turn to Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 1 through 5, yet concentrating on verse number 2 this morning. We come back to the book of Galatians, picking up where we left off in chapter 6. And as you'll recall, Paul has set out in this epistle to protect the truth of the gospel, declaring what God has done in Christ for sinners. Over and over again, he has stressed that the gospel cannot be supplemented by human effort or by obedience. Our rescue from sin, from ourself, from Satan, our rescue from the wrath and curse of God due to us for our sins must be all of God's grace, or it is not salvation at all. We learn that Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us. Like Paul, we as God's people have been crucified with Christ. Yet it is no longer we who live, but Christ living in us. But there were some men who had come to Galatia to thwart the work of Paul in Galatia. These Judaizers began preaching a different gospel, which Paul says is not really good news at all. They were requiring the Gentiles, these Galatians, to adopt the Jewish ceremonial law in order to be justified by God. So for them, salvation was by faith plus works. But Paul reminds them, and by extension you and me, that any attempt to add to the gospel becomes really a denial of grace, and it renders the death of Christ pointless. However, we're not to think of salvation as a mere just get-out-of-hell-free card. For those who continue in the works of the flesh prove that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But those who have God's Spirit dwelling within them, they will bear the fruit of having God's Spirit dwelling within them. They will walk in the Spirit. They will keep in step with the Spirit. And therefore, the true Christian who lives by the Spirit will also keep in step with the Spirit and demonstrate such in their love for God and for their neighbor. 2 weeks ago, we took a look at what our love for each other looks like when one of our brothers or sisters is caught in sin. Well, this week, we're actually continuing within the same paragraph, and we learn why it is that God calls us to bear one another's burdens. But before we read the text, let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing. Our Father, we, your people, are weighed down with many burdens this morning. Some fighting the battle with sin, some struggling with loneliness, others with sorrow deep and cutting. O Shepherd of our souls, do not quench a smoking flax, nor break the bruised reed, but rather gather your lambs in your arms. Carry us in your bosom. Gently lead those with young. Grant your servant gentle boldness this morning to proclaim your word, and grant your people the blessing of renewed minds, illumined hearts, and fruits of repentance. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us give our attention to the reading of God's holy, inerrant word, reading from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, with the concentration on verse number 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. All flesh is as grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. I want you to take a look around you for a moment. Whom do you see? Do you see men and women, boys and girls struggling hard with sin? Perhaps a wife who is at a loss for how to be a godly wife to an unreasonable husband. A child whose parents are so selfish and angry that the children are distraught and terrified. Maybe you see the eyes of a husband and father who is desperately striving to lead his family in the way that it should go, but at every turn there is pushback from wife and children. Possibly you have a secret sin you wish would just go away. The fight against the lust of the mind and the pride of life is terrifying for you. But the shame that you fear actually keeps you from telling those even you are close with of the battle that is raging within. Conceivably, there is someone here this morning who is groaning under the weight of sin which has caused them to wander far from God, even as they put on a fake face each Sunday morning, so that others will not think ill of them. Or for you, it might be the burden of grief and emptiness, depression that just won't go away. What is the church to do? How do we love our brothers and sisters fighting alongside of us in this covenant battle? Well, Paul gives us some very clear instruction here in this passage, but that doesn't mean that it is easy. He simply says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. We're going to look at three reasons to do that from our text this morning. Bear one another's burdens because our Lord commands it. Our brothers and sisters need it, and our love demands it. You can find that outline in your bulletin if you wish to take notes. Bear one another's burdens. First of all, we see because our Lord commands it. There's not one of us that don't have burdens that we bear. The unseen burdens, in fact, are typically the heaviest burdens. Paul's letter to the Galatians was not written to a bunch of individual Christians living in Galatia. His letter was written to churches, covenant communities who bound themselves together in love for God, love for one another. And Paul's assumption is not that there might be a few individuals in the congregation who might have a burden. They might be struggling with sin. No, he knows that all of us, to one extent or the other, struggle with sin. And by extension, those burdens that are a result of this fallen world, we struggle with even the burdens of sickness and death, pain and sorrow. Christians have heavy burdens. So let's first take a deep breath and acknowledge that we as Christians have heavy burdens. We live in a fallen world, but we are also fallen ourselves. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When Adam fell, it affected all of us. We all, through Adam's fall into sin, we all were made liable to all the miseries in this life. I wonder how many of us wake up in the morning with your to-do list for home and work. You're taking care of people, you're taking care of things, you're busy going here and there, and at some point You look up and you realize the world is spinning around you and it seems like no one cares. No one knows you. They don't know what you're going through. And if they did, it seems like they don't even bother to care. You might even get that sense of loneliness and sadness, maybe a longing for injustices to be made right, for peace in the home or at work, for the miseries in this life to just go away. Whatever may be your miseries in this life, we all have them. It might be different for each one of us, different weights for each burden, but we all have burdens. But there's also the burdens of sin that we bear. Times when, like the psalmist, we cry out, "For my iniquities have gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." Sad to say, we become professionals at being accustomed to our own sin. We convince ourselves that we have the garden variety of sin that everyone struggles with, like selfishness and pride, anger and impatience. And we tell ourselves that we are going to stop being selfish. We're going to stop getting angry. We're going to stop watching wicked things. But then there we go again. And we fail. And we feel the dark, gross, shameful sin stain that's debilitating. That's hope robbing. And then we just draw deeper into ourselves and our bootstrap religiosity. Come Sunday, we paint on our Christian smile and we do our best to hide the burdens we bear. But that's not what we're called to do. That's not what our Lord has commanded us to do. There's actually good news for burdened souls. Paul echoes our Lord's command here to bear one another's burdens. Now, we might ask the question, how in the world does that sound like good news? I have heavy burdens. How is picking up someone else's burdens good news? Well, when we follow our Lord's example, our love for one another will reach out and keep our brothers and sisters from being crushed. We're commanded to love our enemies, to love our neighbor as ourselves. But our Lord commands his disciples to love one another as Christ loves us, to serve one another as he served them, washing their feet, wrapping a towel around him and serving his disciples, washing the feet of his disciples. You might remember that Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and scribes, saying that they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with even a finger. We must cease our navel-gazing and look up and see the burdens of others, devoting ourselves to make their burdens lighter. And in this way, Paul says, we fulfill the law of Christ. Now, for some of you, when Paul says you fulfill the law of Christ, it might sting a little. You might be thinking to yourself, Paul, I thought we're free from the law. Aren't you being dark and legalistic, laying yet another burden upon their shoulders, that burden of bearing burdens? Well, the difference is that now we are in Christ. We have been freed to serve one another in love. The Spirit has changed our hearts, and he's empowered us to fulfill his law. And that is why, even though the law of Christ actually exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, Jesus can say to us, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." So it is not that our Lord's commands are easy because they allow you to do what you want. They're easy because when we are weak, He is strong. Because God's Spirit's the one who produces within us that fruit of love, and through that love for one another, we fulfill the law of Christ. Therefore, if you walk in the Spirit, you will bear one another's burdens, because our Lord commands it. Bear one another's burdens because our Lord commands it. But secondly, we ought to bear one another's burdens because our brothers and sisters need it. So what kind of burdens do our brothers and sisters have? We've mentioned a few in general already, but you'll recall from verse 1 of this chapter that there is also this burden of trespasses. I would say that that is the primary one that Paul has in mind here. Oftentimes when we think of burdens, we rarely think of the burden of sin. But Paul shows us from verse 1 that these burdens include trespasses. Those weighed down by such burdens are the ones who are committing those burdens, committing that sin. And we have the burden to share with them of restoring such a one, bearing their burdens. Such burdens threaten to crush our peace of conscience, our joy in the Holy Ghost, our faith in Christ, and our perseverance to the end in these graces. And so whether it is a tragedy that threatens to make us doubt the goodness of God, or it is a sin that drags us into guilt and judgment, we are called to bear one another's burdens. Sadly, many of us are either so ashamed of our burdens, or in our pride, we worry about what others will think of us, that we despise the thought of ever letting others come alongside and bear that burden with us. Some of you let the sin of anger get the best of you, and your spouse and your children are left to suffer. Your words cut them deeply and strike fear in their hearts, only for you to later regret what happened, and you promise yourself and you promise them it'll never happen again. But it does. And you carry the burden of trespass upon your shoulders. Others have a heart full of pride. You're quick to look down your nose at everyone else. You think you're a better husband, teacher, father, a better wife, mother, or friend, that each decision, each encounter, discussion finds you putting down others to make yourself look good. And then you lie in bed at night, you realize what you've done, and you promise yourself you'll never do it again. But you do. And so you carry the burden of trespass upon your shoulders. Still others trespass in ways that you think is unique to you, or so you think. You think that other Christians don't have the same fight. Might be sins of pornography, drunkenness, drugs, addictions, love of money and the like. You fight with all your might against such trespasses, but try as you might, your bootstraps break and you are left writhing on the floor. And so you carry the burden of trespass upon your shoulders. Of course, those burdens are the toughest to bear for one another. More often, we see the other's physical or economic or emotional burdens. We see those struggling to carry a load or those who need help around the house. And those, too, are real burdens that we must bear. It's so encouraging to see God's people gather to help out our widows, or to clean out the church. Those burdens are easy to see, and we are helping one another with these burdens. When others are struggling to make ends meet, how often people here have come alongside, they reach into their pockets and share what they have. That's the love of Christ for one another seen in us here at Armor. When we've lost loved ones, when we have seen our children wander away far from Christ, we come alongside each other and we seek to comfort them in their sorrow. And in such circumstances, that is fulfilling the law of Christ. And as we see others carry such burdens upon their shoulders, let us continue to share those burdens all the more as the day of Christ draws near. And so whether it is the burden of trespass or emotional, physical, or economical burdens which others bear, what is the responsibility of those who come alongside and bear one another's burdens? In other words, what do our brothers and sisters really need us to do for them? If we truly love our brothers and sisters, what will that love look like in real life? Well, in many ways, you already know. You've already been practicing your love for one another. So first, let me encourage you in such endeavors. But I think you would agree with me that you and I still have room to grow in bearing one another's burdens, especially the burden of trespass. If it seems easy for you to share one another's burdens of sickness or unemployment, the loss of a loved one, or maybe loneliness, but it seems just too hard to bear the burden of restoring a sinner in a spirit of gentleness, meditate upon this thought for a moment. A sinful attitude, a sinful habit, is much more harmful to a person than any of those other burdens. It's a much heavier burden, and they need help to bear it. Wouldn't it be great to belong to a covenant family of believers who loved each other so much that they simply could not look the other way while a brother or sister hardens into the habit of sin? Let's be that family. Not in some proudful, arrogant, judgmental way, but in a loving, gentle, restoring way. And in that way, we bear one another's burdens. We fulfill the law of Christ. So bear one another's burdens because our Lord commands it. Our brothers and sisters need it. But lastly, we see that our love demands it. Our verse ends by telling us that when we bear the burdens of others, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. Now, as I mentioned earlier, that law could be summed up in the command to love. We not only love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we love our neighbor as ourself. And yet, Paul, when he mentions the law of Christ, he hearkens back to that night when Christ was arrested, the night before he was crucified, when he poured out his heart in teaching his disciples. Jesus said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you." Well, there were a lot of Old Testament commands, and so I imagine the disciples now are on the edge of their seat. They're wondering, what is this new command going to be? And so Jesus says, love one another. You can imagine the disciples thinking to themselves, well, that's not a new command. The Old Testament commands us to love one another. But Jesus didn't stop there. For it's not what they were to do in this new command. It was how they were to do it. Christ actually goes further in the command to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, as Christ loved the disciples, his disciples were to love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. And so shall all men know that you are my disciples. And so to understand how we are to love one another, we need to first understand how does Christ love us? How does he bear our burdens? Do you remember the account of when Israel was about to cross the Jordan River to enter into the promised land? Moses gives this very moving speech, and he says, how did you make it through the wilderness? How did your sandals and your clothes not wear out these 40 years? How did your babies eat and there were no stores in the wilderness? Well, listen to the answer. It was because the Lord carried you in his arms. It was because the Lord carried you in his arms. Well, centuries later, God reminds Israel of his covenant love when he tells them through the prophet Isaiah, I am not like the false gods you dabble with, like Baal. You have to carry those gods around in your luggage. But I'm not like that. Listen to me, O house of Israel, house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, whom have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear you. I will carry you. And I will save you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed. Isaiah goes on to say that since his people are precious in his sight, there will be a great exchange for their life, one for the other. And ultimately, that great exchange happened in the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He bore the burden of our sins, our trespasses upon the cross. When our iniquities were gone over our head and our burden was too heavy for us to bear, Jesus comes along. He bears them upon his shoulders. He carries them to the cross, and then he bears the wrath and curse of God due to us for our sins, for those unbearable sins. There upon the cross, the ultimate love of God was shown for you and for me. There on the cross, the burden borne that would have sent us to everlasting fire, the flames of hell forever. There upon Calvary, he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. There he bore the sin of many and is in heaven now, and he makes intercession for transgressors with heavy burdens. And Jesus says, love one another like that. When this good news gets into the hearts of believers, gets into our bones, what ought we to expect to see? What is the evidence of this? What would it look like if we leave the 99 sheep safely in the fold to go out into the wilderness and bring in that one lost sheep? Would it be to beat the fire out of that lost sheep for running away? Would it be to tie its legs and drag it home begrudgingly? No. In Jesus' parable, he says, no, it means you carry it. You carry it rejoicing. When we see one another struggling in sin, don't turn a blind eye. Lovingly and sweetly, with meekness and gentleness, restore such a one. Be willing to drop your plans and go to your brother or sister who is struggling with alcohol and sit with them. Put your plans on hold and take dinner over to a widow struggling with loneliness of an empty house and play a board game. Grab another church member or an elder and go and sit and listen to the concerns of another brother or sister. You're not going to be able to meet every need of every member every time. But together, we can bear one another's burdens because we love one another. One short side note on this, as we embark upon loving obedience in this area, is be patient. It will take a while to build up trust. That means there will need to be an investment of time on the front end in someone's life before they will begin to trust you with their burdens, especially those burdens of trespass. Don't give up very easy. And don't gossip to one another about what they do share. Follow Matthew 18 if something needs to go any further, but love on them as Christ loves you, for your love demands that you bear the burdens of others. Bear one another's burdens because our Lord commands it. Our brothers and sisters need it, and our love demands it. There is no burden greater than the burden of sin and guilt. Now, it might be a temptation for you to not admit that you still bear the burden of sin and guilt, that you do not rest in Christ alone for your salvation as he is offered in the gospel. It may be a tremendous burden upon your shoulders that you do not know where your soul will be when you die. It may be that Jesus comes back soon, as we read in Revelation. And you will stand before the great judgment throne, and you know that you have not been forgiven, that your burden of sin and guilt and shame is still on your shoulders. Well, hear the call of Christ this morning to lay your burdens down at the cross of Christ. Repent of your sin, and Christ will take up your burden of sin and guilt and forgive you of your sin. Now that is love. For you, that is freedom from your sin and guilt, freedom from shame and guilt and gloom. There, God, in the gospel of his Son, trades our burden of sin, that heavy burden, too heavy to bear, for his light burden, his robe of righteousness. There at the cross, humble sinners taste of his grace and learn of his love. There at Calvary's Mount, the chains of prisoners are broken, captives are made free, the mourner finds peace. There where the Son of God hung between heaven and earth, the eyes of faith see a holy love granted by grace and revealed in mercy. For there on the cross of Calvary, burdens are lifted and sinners are set free. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, look around once more and see those weighed down by burdens too great for them to bear alone. What would Christ have you do? Would he have you sit idly by while his dear children languish under their burdens? In the Old Testament law, you were not even allowed to let a donkey of your enemy falter under the weight of his burden. Think about that. You find an enemy and his donkey is down on the ground. He can't get up. He has a burden too heavy to bear. Your enemy's donkey. Listen to what Exodus 23, verse 5 says. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. Now, if the donkey of your enemy is worthy of you bearing his burden, how much more those on your right and left, weighed down under the burdens of trespass, of physical, emotional, economic burdens, should you bear their burdens? Do unto others what your Lord has done for you, and bear one another's burdens. Let us pray. Oh, Father, would you forgive us for the pride of our hearts that keeps us from the meek and loving, admonishing and restoring each other when we sin? Would you transform armor into a people whose hate of sin and love for sinners creates a community of purity, peace, and joy. Bless your people who have been ever more diligent to reach out and share the burdens of others. Increase our efforts and give us fruit 100-fold for the labors that they have done for your glory. Help the elders, help me to exemplify the love you've already shown to us when you bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. All for the sake of Jesus, we pray.